Hello. Very quickly, I would like to remind you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Like, comment, and share the videos.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Holy Father, we thank you, we love you, we bless you in the name of Jesus. Father, help us tonight. Deliver the word. And that those who hear can hear the word clearly. What you want to speak, what you want to say, what you want to teach us. And that we can specifically mature and learn the truths of the gospel. The truth of your word here. We give you the honor and the glory for it. And thank you that you help us. In Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, God bless all of you. Thank you for being here tonight. Now, today's title, what we'll be seeing here today, and God is my source. Now here's the title. 4 steps to effectively use Jesus' faith in us. And as I've said before, I, personally, how many of you heard that? Personally, I, Brother Hughes, I don't like to be teaching by steps because there are those who do teach by steps as step one, step two, and I have no issue with that. I'm talking about me. Nevertheless, I've tried to make this study series the most practical, simple. I've tried making this study series as clear as possible for the good of the people. As you saw in our new radio station that we're going to be in Chihuahua, in the capital, and in other areas, and in television as well. Well, there are a lot of new people, be it from the world, or be it people, children of God, believers in Jesus Christ. And not all of them understand things, if I make myself clear. Or perhaps it's new revelations for them. For example, in the study series that I'm giving Sundays, I spoke with one of our faith partners. I spent hours and hours with him. I had a very long day yesterday. And I spoke with many faith partners. And I also spoke with a pastor. And the phone call lasted 2 hours and 40 minutes, and then many other faith partners in the church. And one of them told me, I don't know which study series to go with, either with the study series of Sunday or the midweek services or both. And I said, well, both. But for example, what is Job, the sovereignty of God, and all of that? They are very strong doctrines in the body of Christ, and they teach it very incorrectly in my biblical perspective. But if I'm going to go criticizing them that teach that way, or the people that learn it as well, those guys are going to get offended, and you're not going to be able to win them over. And I know the argument of many is this: well, it doesn't matter. The thing is to tell the truth. Yeah, you can tell the truth, and what? Who's going to hear you? I'm going to make myself clear. And the same way with this, I'm trying to teach us step by step. And so I asked the Lord, Father, help me to teach this clearly, because I can speak it quickly, and if you grabbed it, well, but if you didn't, well, that's on you. But I want you to understand this clearly. So 4 steps to using grace effectively. And so much so, I love people so much. It's not the love of God. It's not my love, but the love of God. Have you heard that saying where they say, oh, this person is very good, it's a very good person? Well, that's not true. That's a sleeping lie. No one is truly good. It's by Jesus in us. It's by the fruits of the Spirit, remember? Love, joy, peace, love. By the love of God in us. But if we just operate in our flesh, we could be the same and or worse than any other pagan. Amen. But if you let the love of God, which is in you, let it flow, you'll do things that you'd normally never do. For example, in my case, to be teaching by notes or by steps, in my case. Amen. That understood, in my case. Glory to God. So the first step I told you is what? You have to have a revelation. It has to be revealed to you. A revelation of the grace of God and the unconditional love of God. And the grace of God has two pillars. Those two pillars are this. When I say two pillars, or I better say two foundations. The first one is the love, the unconditional love of God. God loves you unconditionally, you believe it or not. Regardless of your actions. And religion hates that because religion says, oh, God is mad with you, or look at how you are in sin and all that. Well, I'll be dealing with that in other study series, or in this study series. And this will be in the coming weeks on false grace. But for now, we'll stay with one side of the coin. And the first side is this. God loves you unconditionally. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord had appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with what? An everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. This is everlasting love, not what someone's saying before. Yeah, because there are people who hear like, well, hold on. Well, you know what? Shut up, Brother Hughes. Don't say anything. Now, let me look at it here in the Bible because... Well, they'll say, oh, that it's not like this or it's not like that. They'll disagree. They'll say, but that's in the Old Testament. I don't know what else. So, Jeremiah 31, I want to show you what this is alluding to. And it's true, this is in the Old Covenant. But Jeremiah 31, verse 4, again, I will build you and you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with your tambourines. Now, they might say, oh, well, this is for the Jews. Hold on. Yeah, it's true this was for Israel. But God was seeing at this time, he was looking at us during this time. Because if you remember, there are 12 tribes of Israel. And one of the tribes is the tribe of Judah. And of the tribe of Judah came the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you and I are in Christ. Therefore, we are studying how that faith, which is so powerful, which of Christ, which is in us. We're studying that strong force. So if he loved us with everlasting love, how much more? If he loved Israel with everlasting love, how much more us? Now, second covenant, John 16. And there are people who struggle with this, especially those who are cold or in sin. Especially Christians, oh, they say, oh, well, God is mad with me. That's why there are Christians who can't even lift their hands. There are Christians who are so bound, that they can't even raise their hands in praise and worship. They can't. You won't see them like this. You'll see them like this, with their hands like this, or with their hands perhaps halfway at their body, or another one's worse. It looks like they're trying to avoid the chair in front. Running off, so they'll grab it by the back. Did you know that you'll have to believe me on this, but to praising, one of the definitions in the first covenant are around how in Psalms it would speak about praising Jehovah, praising God. To praise, apart from giving recognition, it also means, one of the definitions in the Hebrew is to make yourself look ridiculous. As in, you yourself look ridiculous when appraising God. To praise is not just clapping your hands like the seals waiting for a fish. Praise, to clap is part of it. Praising is spirit, soul, and body. Which is why one of the definitions is to make yourself look ridiculous, because, oh man, look at how he's moving. Because you're doing, oh, glory to God, moving your hands, clapping, moving up and down, waving your hands. Some Christians might say, I was going to say some of you, but my apologies. Some Christians, oh, God forbid. Holy, hallelujah. They're going to be like this because the presence of God. And that's just dead works. Actually, God detests that. Not you, not the believer, but that way of being, he detests it. And I don't want to use a very strong word because perhaps they won't even be able to translate it. Well, I'll say it very quickly, and then I'll translate it in Spanish. The people are bound in that. They relate their relationship with God with their dead works. They say, "Oh, well, I came to church, hallelujah." They even bring their notepad. "I came to church, I gave, I praised." And when they go before God, they want to present their list of like a good boy. But that's not how it works. Now, the other side, there are those who go to the other extremes also. "Oh, well, that's so cool, I don't have to do anything." Well, it's neither or. It's everything that we do, which is in line with the Bible, or the Word of God, because it's born out of you, out of that relationship. Which is why, with that relationship, when you have that relationship with God, it's when you hear from God. It's when God starts giving you riches financially, and you stop with those stupidities of the tithings of the law. Do you have to give? How much do I have to give? You get rid of that. You just want to give with full hands. You want to bless the work of God. You are joyful that you're able to help people, to help those with financial need. That you're able to help, perhaps fix the car of a brother or sister, or that this brother in Christ needed paint for their house, or be able to paint their car, or be able to give families perhaps something on Christmas, or perhaps a turkey or something like that. You don't give it so that people can come to church. You give it because you want to do it. It's part of blessing the work of God financially, and it's part of blessing the body of Christ, the children of God, and you're joyful. You're not doing it so that, oh, perhaps to gain a step into heaven or things like that. You don't do anything like that. More so, we do it praising Him, and it's born out of us. That's faith. Amen. From here. Amen. You know why my wife sends me very handsome here to the services? See, she cuts my hair. That's my beard. "Oh, you'll be putting this on today, honey." Or I'll go with her. She said, "Do you like this?" And she said, "Yeah, that'll work." Or fix up my clothes. You know why? She buys me my colognes. She makes sure that I go very well shaved. You know why? Because nowadays, many modern families say, "Oh, well, just like that in sandals." There are some pastors will go preaching in sandals, and you know, their toenails look like claws because we're under the grace, supposedly, or just like that. However it is. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Because that's a false grace, and I'll be speaking on that later, following week. But you do it because you love God. Hallelujah. So John 16, verse 27. "For the Father himself loves you." Notice this. "For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I am came forth from God." Guess what? Jesus came out of God, and we are with God, and through being born again, we come out of God as well. Hallelujah. We have the sperm of God. That's one of the Greek ways of saying seed, sperm. In Spanish, it sounds very similar. You know why now? But the man is the one who gives the seed. Well, you and I have the seed of God in our spirit. Glory to God. But Brother Hughes, why is it that some Christians and who are truly born again, they come out of God and they're drinking, they're in drugs, they're doing this? The reason is they have not understood and have not taken the time to meditate these scriptures. And they haven't taken the time to create a relationship with God. And I'll be going into that second part. "I believe I receive it." Remember that part? You have to believe that you receive it. They haven't taken the time for that. And they operate just in their mind, in their soul, instead of operating in their spirit, instead of saying, "No, I am a child of God. God loves me. Look, it's right here. For the Father himself loves you. He loves you the same way he loves Jesus. So, if you want to see this more, go to chapter 17, 23. I in them, and you in me. John 17, 23. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. No. As you have loved them as you also, we could also read it like this, that you have loved them the same as you have loved me. Well, some of you in your minds are saying, oh no, that don't keep going. Don't keep going. Haven't you seen those people where they keep eating, and then suddenly they can't digest everything and then they get diarrhea? That's how some are, with a spiritual diarrhea. No, it can't be that way. How can God love me the same way he loves Jesus? No. You're like Tucita from Pedro Infante. Oh, come on. I got it.
You got it? Okay, that's good. Amen.
¿Quieres que te diga algo chistoso? Want me to tell you something funny? No, you don't. Okay, then I'll continue. Well, no one answered yes, so everyone stay quiet. What has to do with this? When we were kids, my God, my brother who is now in heaven, and I, we were some tremendous kids, and my mom worked for the government, so at certain hours she'd come out. So when my dad was in medical school, he didn't know what to do with us, especially with your servant here. So he'd grab me with the belt, and one day suddenly he said, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. There in Hermosillo there's something called the House of Culture, the Casa de Cultura, if perhaps some of you have heard of it. So he said, well, you know what, I'm going to put them in an English course. And I had already grabbed English through watching cablevision, just through cable, just watching cartoons. And then next door, there was a lady who now passed away. And Doña Nidia, one of her children named Max, who now lives here, who lived in Tucson, he had three children. And the two younger ones were Peter and Sheila, of this man named Max. And they would play with me in Hermosillo when they would visit, to the point where I started teaching them Spanish. Bad words, but I taught them a little bit of Spanish. So I would play with them. But you know, my dad would say, well, no, I'm going to put you in an English course. But dad, come on. I mean, this is what is your name? My name is... They're very behind on that. I'm more ahead. But, you know, my dad didn't know what to do with us. So he just put us in that school. Oh, man, for me, it was a laughing spot. Just one, two, three, not three, but three, four, five, not five, but five, six. No, it was very boring for me. But, you know, that's where you're going to stay. And we spend about 2 hours. For me, it was an eternity. Because, you know, in my mind, I was always thinking, man, my God, so many things that I have to do outside just playing instead of doing homework here. So in one of the classes, one of the teachers said, you know what? We're going to do perhaps like a play here. I thought, oh, okay, well, let's see what I can make fun of here. And then they started doing like a kind of play. Their English was terrible. Even the same one that so much so the English of the teacher teaching them to the English of the students. So they were doing that sketch there. And one of the girls come out. She knocks on the door. No, never mind. One of the kids arrived there. One of the boys. And then the girl answers, hi, not hi, but hi. Hi.
Hi.
Come in. All together. Like this. Drink a chair. Or take a seat. Drink in Spanish. Tomar. Means take. Or drink. Translated literally. So she literally translated it. Drink a chair instead of take a seat. So I was laughing. And the teacher was just looking at me at that time where, you know, where the teachers could put discipline. However, I had my ears pulled, my sideburns pulled. But at that point, I thought, well, whatever. I mean, I'd rather have a good time and then just later get scolded. Well, from there, when she says that, and then supposedly the man, or like a boy, says, "What are you doing?" Like this with the accent, and then she says, I am seeing, as to say, watching. You say watching instead of seeing. I am seeing a movie of Peter Children. Of Pedro Infante. Infante in Spanish is children. And I was laughing so comfortably. I fell on the floor. The teacher grabbed me by the ear. They didn't know what to do with me. Oh, I gotta get hurried because two or three Pharisees here are. Then you have to go to the word. John 17:23. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that you would may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now I have a note here, perhaps. Let's see if you can see it. Right there. You can see with some red ink right there. Let's see. The Father loves me as he loves Jesus. Oh. The Father loves me as he loves Jesus. No, it's the front camera, not the side. Let's see, the one here in the middle. You're right there? The Father loves me as he loves Jesus. And then I mark it right there, and then I look at it, and I say, oh, man. Right there. And the devil gets mad. No, that can't be. Well, yeah, it can. Glory to God. Thank you. Then, from there, Ephesians 2, chapter 2. Ephesians 2, 1. And you, he made alive, were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Notice, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Someone say amen. In another time, we used to walk, but now you have to understand that you're a child of God. You're a daughter of God. God loves you so much that he has a photo of you in his wallet. He has a post-it, a 4x4 in his room, and he does this before going to sleep. And then he takes out that photo from his wallet and kisses it. Not all of you believe it, but no, I can't believe that. Yeah, we can tell. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And here's that other thing. This is what happens. When you, as a believer, as a child of God, notice how it says, once we were all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh, guided by our flesh, not by the Spirit, but by our flesh, by the devil. We are by nature children of wrath, although we are no longer children of wrath. But when we walk in the flesh and disobedience, notice how terrible, how ugly it is. That consequences come as if we were children of the devil, which we no longer are. That's spiritual aberration. You don't have to. And people have to understand. And you have to be joyful in your identity. Continue reading. But God. When I always read it like that. But God. Notice how after that but is something very important. You know how before that but, it's talking about how we were once children of the devil, pagans, people of the world. But after that but God, hallelujah, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. That's what you are. So that's what you should do. Grab these verses and read them out loud, and saying like this, verse 1, and he made me alive when I was dead in trespasses and sins, in which I once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, talking about this, the spirit of Satan, among whom I also once conducted myself in the lust of my flesh, fulfilling the desires of my flesh and of my mind. And by nature I was a child of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved me and loves me, because of his great love with which he loves me, he loved and loves me. Amen. Even when I was dead in trespasses, made me alive together with Christ. By grace I have been saved, and together raised me up and made me sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. That's how you should speak. That's what you are. Well, brother, I don't feel like that sometimes. And what? Doesn't matter. Matter. I don't feel like that. Well, I don't see myself, said someone. What do you see? Just in the mirror? What is that you see that you're in the mirror, that you're missing a tooth? Tooth, you're half bald? You see yourself in the flesh. But if you see your identity in spirit here, you're going to stop with all those aesthetics of your body. God loves you. God loves me. Say it like that. Oh, hallelujah. I am perfect in my spirit. And then the devil's going to say, yeah, but you've messed it up. You're not that in your mind or in your body. And I'm going to get to that. Hold on. Hallelujah. Because every change that you will do it from the inside out. This is what will motivate. That's why there are Christians who say, oh, well, pastor, I can't stop drinking. I left booze for 6 months, but I came back. Well, I can't leave this. It's because I get worried. And well, the only reason is because you want to do everything in your flesh. And you fail one after the other. Because in your flesh, you're stubborn, you're selfish. Because then when you reach it, then you start boasting about it. Saying, well, I stopped drinking, I'm at the gym now. I don't. And then there you go, going with your wife. But then, since you did everything in your flesh, in your own strength, then later you're all depressed. Where it says, I want to wash. Well, now here are the washer and the built-in dryer. Because you did it in your own strength. You started falling into your addictions. You fell back. Because you did it in your own strength. You did it. You wanted to just because you thought you were so cool. I'm telling you how to use the faith of Christ, which is in you. But when you start saying this, when you start saying, oh, thank you, Father. That's how I lost more than 30 pounds. Some of many of you met me when I had more than 30 pounds of weight. Started reminding myself, started putting in me what I was in Christ because God loves me. I started putting the word in my heart, and I'll be going over that right now. This is so tremendous. Romans 5:5 will be explaining this in greater detail right now. That's how you'll accomplish it. Everything is possible for those who believe. Someone say amen. And you will be letting these politicians will vote for us, and we'll be giving you papers, giving you Medicare and giving you food stamps and get all of that. God is your source. Amen. And you see things where they tell you, look, the politicians, well, I want to protect you. Heck, no, I don't need any protection. I have the protection of God. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Ooh. The Holy Spirit who was given to us. But notice how God loves you so much. Start thinking about how much God loves you. Because He is love. He put some of His love into your spirit. Which is why He put of His faith in your spirit. And righteousness in your spirit. So that you can later be saying, well, I've messed up so much in the past. Perhaps God is disappointed with me. Perhaps God is mad with me. Well, if you always see God that way, you always see Him mad with you, you're always going to be coming up to Him out of condemnation. You won't get near Him out of confidence, out of trust. I'm showing you how to use your faith more effectively. Someone say amen. Now Hebrews 4. I know some of those who see me through television and radio hear me. They think, oh, he's promoting sin. All the contrary. It's all the contrary. I'm promoting these truths that will move you away from sin if you have a revelation. The church is always scared to be talking about the body of Christ. Because for them, it's if you say the truth, people will misunderstand. You think Paul didn't speak certain things? On the contrary. Remember how he told in the book of Hebrews, I have hidden from you nothing. Nothing. I have the whole truth. And there were those, as well as now in these days, in those days, would also misunderstand. They would say, no, well, Paul said that we can live like animals. Doesn't matter. Because God loves us the same. That's not what Paul was saying. But did Paul stop speaking the truth? No. What did I say? Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you have a consciousness of sin, and I'll tell you this, if you purposefully use these truths to walk in sin and disobedience, one of the things that you will create in yourself is that a conscience, a sin conscience. Because sin will always condemn you. Always. So you'll have a conscience where God is not condemning you, but you will perceive God that way, as if God was condemning you, as if God was mad with you. Fail. Doesn't fail where, for example, you fall into a pool and guess what? You're going to come out all wet. Right. Doesn't fail. Nothing of, oh, well, I'll calculate here. Or a scientific theory. No. Fall in the pool and you're going to come out all drenched. That same way. The same way. You sin, there will be a sin conscience. That the sin will condemn you. Doesn't fail. Your conscience will condemn you and then the devil will condemn you. Doesn't fail. How 2 plus 2 is 4? Just like that. Oh, not fail. Is how there are 4 seasons in the year. Believe it or not, they will pass. You're out at 1 year. The same way. Doesn't fail. And you will give place to the devil as well. Now, next part is what? You understood having a revelation of the love of God? How much God loves you? Well, there's another part as well. The finished works of Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the grace of God. Remember, I told you. The grace of God has 2 pillars. The first pillar, or the first foundation, is the law, the unconditional love of God. And then the other pillar is the finished works of Christ Jesus. 2 verses. John 19, verse 30. John 19, verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Now it says in English, "It's finished." It is completed. Finished is completed, done. Help me with the New Living Translation. Same thing. It is finished.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So everything is paid for. Blessing is paid for. What is it based on now? It's based on seeing the manifestation. It's based on seeing the manifestation of that healing once you are saved, of all the blessings that God has. Amen. Glory to God. Be learning on that as we advance in this study series. Now, what was the second step that I gave you? You have to know it as if you were one. That believe, you have to believe that you receive it. What? The promises of God. You have to believe that you receive what we just spoke. Receive the finished works of Christ Jesus. That's by faith. It has nothing to do with feeling. It has nothing to do with how you feel. Amen. Remember, that love of God in you, that faith in you, will motivate you. Think about it. How many people, you and I, speaking in the natural, are we going to know or could know from those people who are watching us through television, those towns in the state of Sonora, especially up there on the mountaintops, where they don't even have good signal over there? Daughter, where? Annabelle, is there good Wi-Fi signal? No. No, you can't even open a video. So all those people have is through television, through cable. And in Chihuahua, there are people who can't see a video or nothing like that. They only hear us through radio up there in the mountaintops. And now I know that in the city, they have better Wi-Fi, and then they can also listen to us through radio. And through those who are interested, the Lord will call their attention to the word. And now guess what? They run to the website. They run to the social medias to see more. Just think about it. All of that costs money. Now, how many of those will you and I know? I don't know. Perhaps just a few. Perhaps a few of them, but not, I can assure you, all. What interest is there then in investing money in people that we don't even know? That's the love. That is the love of God. Saying how many people will born again and saved from hell. But if you're like those Christians who say, "Well, what do I care?" When When I hear Christians say that, what I think is this. Have they truly been born again? Because, well, not even, they don't even know them in their. Have you heard that? Or, I could care less of Christians. As long as it's good for me. I sometimes think, are they even saved? When I hear Christians say that. You have to believe that what? That you receive it. Two verses here. Good thing that I came. And then you're going to practice it. You're going to live it, better said. That it's all just one. It's all just one giant step. But the Lord helped me to teach it this way so you can see it in parts. Mark 11. Mark 11:23 and 24. For assuredly, I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Believe that you receive them, and what? You will have them. Now, staying on this point, very quickly, I think I'll have time to explain this. At least this point that I'm trying to make. Now go to 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 7. Remember, second step is what? You have to believe that you receive it. Yeah. Help me, Father. I receive it. Yeah, right there. Now, notice this. Because what is distinguishing the Lord? For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Notice this. Why do you boast as if you had not received it? Now, I want to focus on this. And what do you have that you did not receive? You have it all, but guess what? You have to believe that you have it. Because there are Christians that, well, I don't know what brother is sharing, brother Hughes, that I'm healed because I'm always sick all the time. Winter's coming and I have this, allergies, and a cold. You see, that's the thing. It's right there. For your way of speaking cursing. Change your way of speaking. Why do you boast as if you have not received it? That's the thing. You have it all in Jesus. Grace is a gift. Faith is a gift. It's in you. Someone say amen. But Brother Hughes, why is it that I don't see more things in my life? Why don't I see more manifestations? Because you don't believe. Because you don't use your faith. Some of you say, well, what happens is that you have more faith than me, Brother Hughes. Ha 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 ha. Well, what happens is you have more faith than me. That's not true. What happens is that perhaps I have pushed myself with the grace of God in using what I have. And you are not forcing yourself. Use what you have. Use it. How, Brother Hughes? Now, do you understand how much God loves you? I won't leave it up till there, but I'm going to put an example here up to where we are. And then I'll go into the rest. Very simple. Start using something of faith. Something, please. Look, very simple. Receive the love of God. You grab those verses that you have. You speak them out loud. And what are you doing? You're renewing your mind. But then you say, Father, look, how do you use that faith? What did Paul say? Having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. Now you start saying, Father, thank you that you love me. Hallelujah. Father, thank you that you love me. I am loved. You love me. Glory. I believed, therefore I spoke. You're speaking according to the verses that we just saw. But you see, here's the thing. I'll assure you, because I know how the devil works. And I know how the Christians fall in the hands of the devil. Yeah, well, there you are confessing, but look at what you did. Look at the issue that you fell into. You're right there. You're going to have to ignore that. And speak in faith from right here. Father, thank you that you love me. I am loved. I am loved by God. I spoke, therefore I believe. How to effectively use that faith. Thank you, Father, that I am loved by you. Hallelujah, thank you that you love me. The same, and say it out loud where your own mind hears it, where your neighbor hears it, where the devil hears it, where religion hears it. Amen. Thank you that you love me the same as you love my Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, at first, man, you'll feel some cold feeling down here, down your spine. Cold chills. Where you'll feel weird at first, especially if you're those Christians where the majority of times you walk in condemnation. You're weird. You hear a voice. You're a hypocrite. And some Christians, yes, Lord, amen, I repent. My apologies. No, you have to forget that. Because that's the devil, not the Lord, not God. Remember how we read? Thank you, Father, that you love me the same as you love Jesus. Believe me. Want me to tell you? Laugh comfortably. There's no issue with this. But years ago, I was speaking this, and one of the faith partners of this church called me, and he said, Brother Hughes, I was confessing that, but I'll tell you something. And I'm a bit embarrassed, but I'll tell you. And then he started laughing by himself, and he said, he hadn't told me anything yet. I thought, well, at least tell me so I can laugh the same as you, because he was laughing very comfortably. When I started confessing this, the first day, dude, I got diarrhea out of fear, because I thought, oh man, what if God sends me a lightning strike? You see, that's the relationship that they have with God. It's always out of fear. See, because the only verses that they read in the Bible, and they read it like that, they don't read the context, and that's for sure. They never read these verses, but the devil guides them to those verses because God is a consuming fire. Terrible it is to fall in the hands of God. That's all they read. And oh man, it's so terrible to fall in the evil hands of God. That's all they read. They read it out of context. That's it. Because that's how they relate with God. If they end up praying, they pray like this, to where they even a weird tone, and they stand all still, and oh Father, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, who is in the heavens and in all areas. Oh, and I laugh. It's better to laugh than cry. Oh, that's how I do it, the same way. Like that, just, oh, hallelujah, Holy Father. Even close their eyes, although they're sitting down there. That God can see you, how spiritual they are. They don't say, oh, Father, thank you. God, shut up. Forget that they have a smile. God forbid, it's sin. No, you have to have a faith like they just purged you for 3 days. For them, that's sin. Oh, that's so disrespectful. Hallelujah. And I speak like that because that's where I came from. And it brings me some bad memories. It brings me bad memories because I was very bound. Oh man, imagine. For my past leaders, pastors, to see me seated there in the corner living room. Cross my cup of coffee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning. Thank you for this. Lord, thank you for this cup of coffee. And then there's this thing where my cats play, a playhouse. Then one of my cats comes up. And then I'll grab him, give him a kiss. His father have given me this little animal here. Imagine. Oh, how disrespectful. You were praying and then giving kisses to your cat. Yeah, because there are people like that. I remember. It was in Tucson. Oh, pastor. How do you kiss your cat? Well, you kiss your husband. And you don't tell him anything. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because nothing like that. And it is true, but there are moments where I can't be like that. I have to pray. I'm praying in the spirit. I have to go perhaps to my home in the back or home in front, and I start praying in tongues. There are moments like that. There are times where I just spent time like, oh, well, I was very disrespectful. Hallelujah. No. You could see more spiritual. You had to, especially if it was time in the heat of August, you had to be on an anthill so you can suffer. Hallelujah. Stupidities. The worst part is when someone says stupidity, is like, hey, it doesn't matter. No. But I must correct that it does matter because there are many people who are bound. They're bound. You have to believe that you receive it. Start using your faith. Start praying that you receive it. I'll give you an example with a verse. Be right there in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 2:14. So you can see how much God loves you. Let's suppose that you're going through an issue. Yeah, you know, issues happen, problems. Through tribulations, we go through things. All of us, be it for whatever reason, be it that we did not realize something, we made a stupid decision, or simply it's an attack of the devil, etc., for whatever. We always go through things. Well, based on that, you see what 2 Corinthians 2:14 says. You start saying, Father, thank you. Now thanks be to God, who always leads me in triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. I receive it. I receive that. Doesn't matter how I'm feeling. Doesn't matter the circumstance. Doesn't matter this issue. Father, thank you. I receive it. Because you love me, you always lead me to triumph in Christ Jesus. I receive your promise. It was given to me by grace. Finished works of Jesus. You see, you choose what to believe because that was by grace. You feel it or not. You believe it or not. So you now have to start releasing your faith there, which is the faith of Jesus. So why do you struggle? I've heard some people say where they'll say, faith failed me. Faith failed you? That's impossible. It's the faith of Jesus. Do you think it's going to fail? You failed in using it. Oh, hallelujah. Good thing that I came. You failed in using it. I'm not condemning you. I'm just explaining how it works. You failed in using it. You believed the lies of the devil, the condemnation, religion to your mind. Father, thank you. Father, I believe that I receive it. Oh, glory to God. You lead me to triumph in Christ Jesus. You love me. You are my helper. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You helped me to get out of this situation. As in other occasions, thank you, Father, because you love me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, you are so good. Hallelujah. You are my helper. You lead me to triumph in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror. Thank you. I receive it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you're praising God so much that you can't even avoid it. You notice how you don't even think of it. Oh, I haven't prayed in tongues. No, you don't think about it. It's just, you just flow. Glory. That you love me. I believe it. Then you go. Then you grab into your work truck. You're perhaps working outside, etc. And you know what? And problems will come. Again, you have a mind. I have a mind as well. As you. A soul. And sometimes certain thoughts come. Doubt. Oh man, this problem. But guess what? I don't speak. But I speak this. Glory to God. I was going to tell Erica to make two photos. I think a while ago she made. But I forgot to tell. Two photos. Remember yesterday when I was working? The video that I made? And then the one from before. This. How my two jobs are. Tell you what. Yesterday I had a very long work day. Personal business and then making phone calls. Morning. Very early. I was outside working. A lot of flies. I had to spit out two or three flies. One time I had to pass it with coffee like this. Because it reached my throat. One time I had to pass it and I couldn't spit it out. But when I was there, glory to God. I started praising God. In other tongues. And one of those times I started speaking. I couldn't open my mouth too much because how many flies there were. See, that's where all religion leaves. You're saying, oh, I'm not praying correctly because I'm not opening my mouth. As if God is gonna grab a measuring tape to see how many centimeters your mouth opens. It's just stupid ideas. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you because you started praising that all day. And I was with a sickle. The sickle is sweating, and then I was with a shovel and grabbing tumbleweed and some grass to take it to my corrals where my animals were at, where my cattle. Because I don't take them up, because since I'm fattening them up, when I take them out, they start walking where the water is, and they're losing weight. Walk. You can get an idea, just walking. Oh, I have them locked up in their cage. I have them nicely in their corrals. Give them good food. Hallelujah, but I was just praising God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. I believe that I receive. Have you understood it? You have to believe that you receive. Now to start finishing up here. Go to 2 Corinthians. Here. If you understand it. Look, Jesus is the origin of faith. The source of your faith. Why do you struggle? Why do you doubt? Doesn't matter what you feel. Speak what the promises say. It's all done. Just wait a time and the manifestation will come. 2 Corinthians 9. Notice this. Verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you have prepared, previously promised. Now, generously gift beforehand, which you have previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity, not as a grudging obligation. Apostle Paul was saying here, hey, you love God. Why not believe that He is your source? But Brother Hughes, I'm going through this situation. Yeah, no one says no. But perhaps, I don't know. I don't know the situation, their financial situation. But why not believe that there is a God that loves you so much? He loves you so much that He guards you. He protects you and He wants you to trust in Him. and believe in Him that this situation that you're going through will pass. It'll pass. It won't last your whole life. And in that moment, in that time, you understand the kingdom. That the manifestation can come. He put this system in place. No one in this world can tell me that it doesn't work, because Nubi and I have been believing God for great things. It's the same principle that we're using. When we believe God for those $5 to give in the offering, and miraculously those $5 would come. You know why? Because He says that He will give seed to the sower. Verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. So right here, your God will save your grandma. No one has to obligate you for anything. But if you want to prosper the way of God, it should be a joy. Just as you say, Father, thank you that you love me. Father, thank you that you give me seed to sow. And now, stay with the perspective of nothing of, oh, well, I'm going to say that to see what happens. No, that won't work. It's glory to God. And with that perspective, I'm expecting that He will not leave me there and see God work in your life. But well, if I give right now, I won't have anything. Look, if you're going to get out of fear, nothing here on the internet, forget it. But if you're going to do it, Father, thank you for the opportunity. Hallelujah. And more if you're in a difficult situation, Father, thank you. I believe that this seed will bring a harvest. You will not leave me embarrassed, but again, rest. You will see that when I give you all 4 points, oh man, it's all just one. But I divided it in four. Father, thank you. How tremendous. Oh, glory to God. Father, thank you that my seed will hope that all this may continue. You can go to the Lord. Look, a very simple prayer. Father, thank you. Because of this seed, people will be saved. What I will give tonight. People will be saved, and those who are saved, people will renew their minds, people will be discipled with the Word of God. Perhaps some I will meet them, perhaps others I will not, but you know who they are and give you thanks. Because people will come to Christ as I, and people will renew their minds as I renewed mine. Thank you for it. Just like that, that's it, simple as that. Notice how I didn't have to close my eyes or screaming or I had to do weird gestures. I had to be spitting. Didn't change my voice. Nothing. Help me to pray as well. And on your feet. Agree with me with what I'm about to pray. All these good points. Two good points.
In verse 8 is powerful is us an abundant in acts. Having I enter in that peace, and I won't worry. It will come in, probably not the next other, but it will. Let's pray. Lord, I'm thankful for every person here, the ones who are listening via television, radio, internet. Heavenly Father, you're the only one that speaks and who will speak to their hearts, who will reach out to their hearts. Thank you, Lord. Help us. manifest in all of this. That people are reached and awakened in their hearts and in their lives so that they may come to the salvation and the knowing of Jesus Christ. That others who are saved, so that they come to knowledge and renewing their minds in the way of seeing you, so their lives are transformed. And in that same spirit of faith, I give thanks. How many people through radio, TV, internet, you are reaching, Lord, and it is you who is doing the work. It is not us, Lord. It is you. We are just a channel. You are the author of everything. Touch those lives, those hearts, minds of multitudes, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of millions that come to the knowledge of Christ. And that the word matures them to a point where it sustains, because the world is going darker and it's just going to get worse. We used to hear a man killed many, and then women killed people, and now we hear about kids, youngsters killing people. And people don't see that arms aren't the problem, but it's the heart. They don't see the things that are being taught in schools. The only answer to humanity right now is Jesus, the churches, our local churches, pastors who teach the word with truth, the true words, not lies, with fear that people might misinterpret, but with truth. That the only thing in these last times, local churches should become fortresses. Thanks, Lord, because you are our helper. You are the one that helps us to continue your works, to continue working, and to continue working in our local church. And from here in this local church, that the word goes out to the world, you bring those people, the people you chose, that you designed and assigned to be members of this church locally and to be partners of Word of Faith Ministries. You are bringing them. It is you, Lord, and only you, Lord, who are the only one. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You already know what I think. This is why I don't worry about people. You know, it's God and more Jesus Christ who has ordered how many people will have a church. That's why I always say you have to pray so that you know you're in the correct church. Because Jesus is the one that added the people. And Jesus raise those pastors to the local church. And I'm not against having evangelisms. And people come maybe for a while, but then they leave. Maybe it's because they weren't part of this church. And maybe there are some people who don't hear the word of God and they leave a church when they should be here. But it is He who brings them. You'll see in the majority of churches, people come and go, but most stay, like here. be the same people, because these are the people who were designed here. There's pastors who invent programs just to bring people in. Let's read your Bible. It's not wrong to do a to have an evangelism project. But we don't do evangelism, and we don't, sometimes we don't see results, but it doesn't matter. But this church, spiritually speaking, he is, it's his church, and I'm here helping. He is the great pastor. He's the one who supplies the needs. He's the one that speaks to the hearts, to you, our partners, and gives the finances. And he's the one that brings the harvest. So what do? Teach the word. Did I put a gun to your head to have you come back from Texas? No. There are some other people who moved from San Antonio to here. And there are others from other countries saying, Pastor, I don't know if the Lord is telling me to move over there. If it was for me, I would say come over, but make sure it's from Jesus. Lord, thank you. Father, with the authority of Jesus Christ, I ask that you multiply the seed to people here, to an internet. Some of you who see us and you extract a knowledge from us regularly, consider it and pray it in your heart. We're not obligating, making you do something. We're not asking you, but consider, because it says in the Bible in Galatians 6:6 that you consider sowing where you receive a good. Maybe the Lord will tell you weekly, monthly, remove all religion, but make a prayer in faith. Say, Lord, do you want me to be a partner with the brothers Hughes and help them take that message of faith and the principles of faith to others? Do you want me to do that? I see that I have an interest, and I always download from their website. And it might be that, Lord, but let the Spirit guide you. If the answer is yes, you decide, maybe weekly, maybe bi-weekly, maybe monthly. It's you. There is no obligation. And if the answer is no, search from the Lord. Have him tell you where to sow. Amen. And use your money for good. Amen. There's no manipulation here. Nobody's telling you. The Lord is telling you to sow here. Nobody's telling you that. But pray for it.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618. Or visit our website, mpfccc.org.